We're live.
Hello, internet!
Are the martinis ready?
Better this week.
Not quite.
Okay.
They're coming. They're not far.
Okay.
I've got to finish my whiskey anyway.
This should be a good show.
Mixing whiskeys and martinis?
Oh, my.
Oh, God. You're just so bad. I mean,
we're jealous
burst,
now.
They're going to be burst into flames or struck by lightning or turn into pillars of salt.
It's also 80 degrees here today.
Oh.
Really?
I'm offended.
I was stuck at home all day because it's too damn cold to take babies outside.
I thought you were back at work, Weird.
I am back at work, but I don't work full time.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah. So it's any day with a T in it, I'm home.
Nice.
Wow.
Baby Luirdo likes that, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Except towards the end of the day when she's sick of my stupid face. Who wants the mama to come home?
Aw.
And the mama comes home and she smiles for her because she's been a bitch to me.
Oh. Seems I have a vodka martini with cocktail olives or cocktail onions.
Oh.
So technically it's a Gibson.
It's a Gibson.
Yeah. Nice. It's a Gibson.
Did he shake it?
Did you shake it? No.
Shake
good.
It.
All right. We're doing a little better now. All right. Is Michael on now?
He's grabbing his headphones.
By the way, since Alan's not going to do the introductions, we
well,
are...
Well, just hold on. Just
I'm holding on now?
We're waiting for everybody to show up.
You're getting me to hold my horses?
This is the pre-show chatter portion of the...
Did you get me to hold my horses?
No, I just said hold on.
Did PJ O'Rourke call in yet?
No, PJ O'Rourke did not call in. Now, go ahead, Weird.
What about Major Claudel?
Hang on.
Before
you do introductions, let me do this. It is, what day is it?
Wednesday,
Thursday.
October 47th.
Thursday, March 27th, 2014, episode 97.
Woo!
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Let me address this. Let me just go right ahead with this. It's episode 97?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Well, this week, unbeknownst to probably everybody, the Squirrel Report started a Twitter page.
Actually, it didn't start it. It just found it.
Well, we restarted it. We started to use it.
We found
and we are regretting it now. Yes. Okay. Somebody on Twitter called me a Debbie Downer because I suggested last week that we quit at 100 episodes, which is three episodes from now. I know. Okay. Well, here's the thing. And I was only half kidding. Maybe not even a half. Maybe like a quarter kidding. But the thing is, we run a call-in show and we do it, you know, we do it every week, a call-in show live on the air with a chat box and blah, blah, blah. And there's people who listen and they do call in, but we have to, like, we have to beg for callers and it gets very discouraging. It gets discouraging because, you know, we love to talk to people and we love to hear people's stories because we're pretty much sick of each other. No,
love me,
I'm kidding.
I love you guys.
I love you, Weird, and Alan. I'm kidding.
I am sick of Alan. That's true.
Well, you know.
He is
the boss of the show. We have to put up with him.
I am not the boss of the show.
I was mostly kidding, you know, that we should quit at 100. But I really, it does get a little bit discouraging to have to, like, beg for callers and run a call-in show with no callers. So... if you are listening out there and have not called in ever before, we'd love to hear from you. Yeah, we really would love to hear from you. I know that some people are shy and they don't want to call in and they think they're going to sound stupid and they don't think they have anything important to say, but we do not care.
Think of how I sound.
Well,
I know.
Plus, this is
Weird calls in every week.
This is not a radio show with, you know, 20,000 people listening to it.
It's just like, you know, come on. It's just us. We're hanging out.
There's 14 people in the chat.
Right.
And five of them are on the show right now.
Yeah.
It's not like you're performing in front of the Great Hall.
No,
your birthday suit.
But you, the possibility is there that you can become very popular in China.
That's
so
right.
You know, there's always that. You never know how, you know, what would come of that. So anyway, part of our whole thing of trying to get new voices on our show, I invited Jennifer and Michael on the air with us this week.
And
Hello. We're you're going to do big introductions. Go yes. right ahead.
Yes. And yeah, so yeah, we've got Jennifer and Michael, and they are parts of the Evil Robot, the Holster Site LLC Incorporated. They make holsters. Well Michael makes holsters. And Jennifer does math.
Yes.
Because she's Asian. Asian people are good at math.
I'm a mutt. Get it right.
Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Yes. You sound great.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Now, are we calling them Asians now, or is it still Orientals? I get
no,
confused.
It's Asians.
Orientals
are rugs. Oh, okay. Oh my God.
There's a restaurant here that
Jennifer,
refers to,
I'm really sorry.
refers to itself as an Oriental restaurant, and I'm always cringe when I hear that because it sounds like my grandparents saying coloreds.
I wore a colored shirt today. I don't see the problem.
We have guests on the show, and you like insult them within 3 minutes.
I didn't insult anyone.
Thanks. God, this is going well.
I did not insult
All right,
anyone.
So let's get down to brass tacks here.
Okay, good.
Jen, I don't care. Michael, what are you wearing?
Jeans and a t-shirt.
All right. All
if
right.
you were on the Book of Face, I posted a picture.
What can we do to lose the top?
Say please. You might buy me a drink first, you know?
I don't have money. I have a baby. I'll buy you a baby.
Oh, cool.
How much for the baby? So we also have, I'm sure we'll be talking to Jennifer and Mike throughout the show. We also have the book club.
Yeah, we're waiting for PGO Rourke to call in.
Yeah, I think waiting in vain.
He's a little tardy this week. I don't know.
And something.
I sent an email. What can I do? You know.
Did you get a response to said email?
No.
Okay.
You know what the problem is? We don't have people. If we had people, if we had people, our people could call his people. And
I am the people.
No, you're not the people. You're the talent.
You are the talent.
You're not the people.
Whatever.
You need people. We need people, people.
MDev was the people.
Well,
yeah, he kind of is.
That, and thus the fatal flaw is discovered.
Oh, MDev forgot to email.
Damn it.
Vodka just came out of my nose.
Well, that will solve a sinus infection.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Michael,
yeah, what order do we want to do this in?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do the book club first and get that out of the way, because I don't think it's going to take very long, and I don't want to put it off.
I'm halfway through the book, I confess.
I didn't read the book.
Okay.
I think I'm on chapter 8. See, here's the thing, and I'll just get it out up front.
Okay. Frida picks bad books.
No. It's a good book. It's a great book.
Yeah, it's a really good book.
Yeah, it is.
I actually done the homework.
Good for you.
And then I finished my James Bond book. It was very good.
I think the book is great. The problem is I can't read it all at once. It's the reading equivalent of cotton candy.
I gotcha.
It's too much. It's like reading a blog post by a blogger that's one of those look at me being clever bloggers, where it's like, you know, you read one post and it's like, oh, that's really funny and it's really good and da 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 da. But then you read 20 of them in a row and you're like, ugh.
Yeah, I think the problem is because almost everything is quotable.
Yes.
P.G. O'Rourke. I mean, he's fantastic. And the problem is it's like you're saturated with clever quotable political stuff.
Yes.
You have to, and one of the things I think the book is wonderfully done, because the chapters are super short.
Yes,
it's like bam, 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 and and you can kind of read it in tiny little chunks. You know, it's a good bathroom book. It is a good bathroom book.
I don't know about that. I didn't try that theory.
We have a caller.
Oh, good. Already. Is it PJ O'Rourke?
I bet it's PJ O'Rourke.
It's, oh my God, I would die.
Area code 661. I think it's from Bakersfield, California.
Hello, no, that's not PJ.
Caller.
I bet she was expecting PJ O'Rourke.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, kids. How's it going?
Who is this? Who is this?
It's a different writer.
Oh!
I know who that is.
That's Marco.
Why does your phone say it's coming from Bakersfield, California?
Because I'm calling through Skype.
Ah, that explains it.
It's Major Claude.
It's Major Claude. Now, who? Somebody, who was it that wanted? Oh,
T-Bolt.
Yeah, T-Bolt.
Everyone.
New Jumbrian Thunderbolt wanted to talk to Major Caudle.
Except he said Claude Hill, which is even funnier.
He said Claude Hill, yes.
Marco, have you ever met Jennifer and Michael?
No, I have not.
No, we've not. Oh. Yeah.
Internet friends only. Okay.
Yes.
Only on the internet.
Cool.
Well, Marco, since you're in the inner sanctum of writers and you live in New Hampshire, have you met PJ O'Rourke?
No, I have not.
What good are
you? We don't actually know each other, like, you know, we're not like, you know, buddies, not real tight.
You guys don't meet in the New Hampshire authors dinner parties?
That's right. He is a New Hampshireite, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he is down in the southern side of the state, and you are absolutely not.
Yeah, the southern part of the state that is overrun with mass holes.
Yeah, there's still New Hampshire people there, too.
Yeah, the people that escape the state and then try to turn it into the same thing they left.
To be fair, yes, there is an absolute shit ton of people who lived in Massachusetts but were never a mass hole as well. But, yeah.
Well, look at what's going on in Virginia right now. I mean, Jay's single-handedly turning that into Massachusetts weather-wise.
All Jay's fault.
It is. It's all Jay's fault. Clearly. So, what do you did you read the book, Marco?
I've read most of PJ O'Rourke's stuff, and I love him to bits. I don't quite remember whether I've read that particular one. I just kind of called in on a lark here. Oh. I didn't realize you had had the whole book club thing going. But I probably
well,
read it.
No, it's perfectly all right. We like the calls anyway.
There's another lesson for Brita's statement about we need more callers is if you don't want to talk about what we're talking about.
We don't care. Thankfully,
yes. You greatly outnumber us when you call in. So therefore, if you don't want to talk about that, you can talk about something else. Hence why we talk about guns so often on this, even though we are not a gun podcast.
Right.
Technically.
Speaking of which.
Yes.
Yes.
The anti-gun criminal.
Wait
politician.
A minute. No. Ask Marco why he called.
Well, he just said he called on a lark.
Just on the lark. I was just sitting here.
I thought there was like some message you had for us, Marco. Impart your wisdom.
Oh, if you're looking from me to me for wisdom, you're pinging the wrong address, baby. I have no wisdom. I'm terribly busy, which is of course why I'm procrastinating. You know, playing games and calling internet radio shows. I have a book due. I signed a contract for a very 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 extremely short deadline, so I should be writing right now. But you know, all work and no play, et cetera, et cetera.
When you were in school, did you wait till the night before the paper was due to write it?
Absolutely. I mean, last minute deadline panic is the absolute best motivation to get shit done.
Yeah. Done that.
God damn it. Don't I feel like an asshole for actually finishing the book? Because I was not. I was the person who always had the project done a week beforehand because I hate having a project over my head. And my wife was like, why'd you stop reading your James Bond book? I said, because homework.
The glue on my toothpick bridge was still wet.
I will let you in on a little bit of insider information, though, regarding the third book.
Oh.
With the deadline that I committed to, we're looking at a release date for this year. So if that happens, I'll have two books out this year, which will be pretty good.
Is it book three of the series?
Yes, we're looking at a November release date right now. So.
Sweet.
Excellent.
Are you going to be like Stephen King and run under a pseudonym, such as Major Caudill?
not for this series. I will actually write under a pseudonym if I write. I have a bunch of books, you know, kind of half done and in the works. Right now, my agent is basically like, okay, the military science fiction stuff, crank it out as fast as you can because it's selling. But I have a few books that are not military sci-fi, and my agent has suggested that I take a pseudonym for those because I know you don't want to muddle up your audience.
Right.
You know,
that's interesting.
So I would recommend Major Caudill, U.S. Marine Corps retired.
You're right.
No. Major Caudill is going to have a bit part in book three, and he's going to die a horrible screaming death.
Excellent. Oh. you can fess up. You're going to write romance novels under your pseudonym, right?
No, I'll have a more or streamlined, like I don't know. I'm thinking about, you know, the crime novels. You know, are going to be something like Tracer Bullet or something more manly, something more, you know, genre specific. Because Mark, that's the problem with my last name. It's like everybody mispronounces it, including people who have known me for years. They pronounce it Kloose because that's how, you know, if you read it, and an American English speaker would read the name and pronounce it Kloose, but it's close, you know, the opposite of open. So I'm doomed to.
Why did we not know this?
I did not know this.
I did not know that either. Wow.
Well, you know, unless you've heard me pronounce it, you probably wouldn't know. You probably pronounce it Kloose too. But I told my wife that, you know, well, if everybody pronounces my last name Kloose, then Kloose it is. Because even in the audiobook, I got this lovely case of books from Brilliance Audio that had my audiobooks in it because I get author copies and I'm starting to listen to it. And, you know, with the narrator who does the Iron Druid books as well, Luke Daniels, he's a really good reader. I don't know if any of you have listened to the audiobooks, but it's really awesome. Very high production values, but, you know, he starts the book, and it's like, Terms of Enlistment, copyright 2014 by Marco Kloose. And I'm flinching.
Oh, well.
Okay, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a minor thing.
Maybe you should
do a
thing.
You got anglicized pretty much.
You know,
yeah, like my German name.
You know, the old, I don't know how familiar with Linux you are, but for a long time, and, you know, it's kind of died off, but for a very, very long time, when you did the audio test file for Linux that you would play, like when you were setting up your sound card, there was a little snippet of sound in there, and it was a recording of Linus Torvalds, and he would say, hello,
Sorry.
He would say, hello, my name is Linus Torvalds, and I pronounce Linux as Linux because nobody knew how to pronounce it. So maybe you should do something like that, where it's, you know, hello, my name is Marco Kloose, and I pronounce my last name Kloose, damn it.
Yes, that'll be the case. For the, I don't want them to have to redo all those CDs and those audio files, so I'll let it slide for these two books because they kind of cranked them out at the same time. But for the third book, I'll have them corrected. Like I said, I need a more, I don't know, genre specific
something difficult to mispronounce.
Ray Gunn with two N's.
There you go.
There you go.
That's a good Raymond. Perfect. Raymond Gunn. Raymond.
Yeah, Raymond Gunn.
Gunn.
Call
Dirk Irons.
Oh, man, that'd be great.
Rodney Cox.
You just had to go there, huh?
Only if you were going to do the romance novels.
You know, weird.
The romance.
There's a very famous, never mind. I won't get into it.
Is there a porn star named Rodney Cox?
I'm sure there is.
I'm sure there is too, but I am not familiar with his work.
COX?
That's how I would spell it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely a bunch of female porn stars with the last name COX that I'm sure is not their birth name.
Probably not.
Actually, apparently.
And I just found out the other day that the dude who does the seminal actor who does Billy in Predator, he did porn for a long time.
That's disturbing.
It is disturbing. Yeesh.
Okay. Apparently, Rodney Cox is a quarterback for the Kentucky Wildcats. Poor guy.
Wow. Oh, this is the best radio show ever. Hey, we got a ton of people listening now. Look at that.
Do we?
A ton more,
at least in chat. Oh,
it's Jennifer and Michael.
It must be.
Jennifer put a picture on Facebook, and voila.
There you go.
Yay!
Everybody jumped in.
Yep.
It's marketing.
So, so Jennifer and Michael, obviously, Michael, you're making holsters full time now. Is that your like day job?
That's the rumor anyway.
Wow. Now, did you obviously you do leather work and stuff like that. Has that always been like a hobby of yours, or how did you get started doing
that? This is one of the reasons why I wanted you on the show was because this whole, I'm interested in things that are tangential to the gun culture, kind of.
Yeah.
There's so many interesting people in the gun culture that y'all do stuff that are like, you know, it's not exactly guns. You know, it's related to guns, or you have other hobbies. I was talking to Alan today that I'd love to get Cam Edwards on the show because he basically raised his own bacon.
Oh, wow.
From baby pigs. He raised his own bacon. And a couple weeks ago, he's been posting pictures of curing the bacon and smoking the bacon. And I thought, that's fascinating. I want Cam Edwards on the show, not to talk about the NRA or about guns, but about his bacon. Because that would be really a cool show.
And it'd be more hard because Weird would be happy.
And I thought of you guys because, and, you know, we also have Dennis of Dragon Leatherworks, but you also make holsters, but of a completely different aesthetic, I feel.
Yeah.
You guys are very different from the Dragon Leatherworks, and you also do quite beautiful work.
Thank you.
If you want to talk about functionality, I think the best thing is that that Jennifer is, although half Asian, of very much Asian stature and build. She's a tiny, tiny little lady.
Yeah.
And she carries a gun the size of a shoebox.
Yes.
And conceals it marvelously.
Yeah.
And I've seen it in person and not just in photographs. And I just went, how the fuck does that happen? That is some good craftsmanship.
Can we say the F word on this show?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, jeez.
Always. There's an explicit tag on our iTunes.
Awesome. We get all the words.
Yes, all the words. We don't discriminate.
We were wondering how the whole leather thing happened in your life.
Yes.
You know, where did it come from and how did you get your start? And
oh, God, please let it be the story I'm hoping for.
You know, I'd say that the first time I did leather work was at church camp.
Oh, it is the story I'm hoping for.
Is that the same
thing? Is this
going to
really be the explicit rating?
I was hoping for something like, you know, I crocheted my first holster, and then I figured, you know, I just want to do this in leather.
When I was a kid, I dabbled with leather. I didn't really get serious with it, but then when Jennifer and I got our concealed carry permits, I couldn't find a holster that I liked, and I was like, you know, I've dabbled with leather before. So I went and bought a double shoulder from the local Tandy along with some hand tools, and I cranked out a couple of holsters, and they worked, and it all went downhill from there.
Huh.
Just please tell me that your first holster that you made turned out like, you know, when you make those that first wallet in shop in high school.
Oh, it was awful.
with a nylon thread, and it looked like vaguely wallet-shaped. And
Marco, you will never see my first holster. It was atrocious.
It's
non-functional.
That's what I was hoping to hear, yes.
Yeah.
As the great Bill Cosby said, whenever you make something in shop class, if it doesn't come out right, carve two grooves into it, it's an ashtray.
There you go. I think this one would be a dog chew toy.
pretty much. Yeah, but that's why I keep my bag of suck and fail in the studio, so that way when I make something that's really not going to work, I throw it in there as an embarrassing reminder so I don't do that again.
That's a good idea. You open up the Evil Robot Museum.
Yeah, well...
And the tour guide can talk about the humble beginnings.
Yeah. Well, this
the humble beginnings from...
This one will be back behind the curtain, no
yeah,
cameras.
This one is going to be out down in the dungeon under the museum.
Ooh,
yeah,
see,
in writing,
this is the
we call
it
a trunk story or a trunk novel. The stuff that's never going to see the light of day, you know,
mm-hmm.
public consumption. It's like the first 4, 5, 10, 20 things you write, they end up in this box that is never going to see public consumption.
Just make sure you burn it before you die. Otherwise, if you wind up being a, you know, hugely famous author, your estate will drag it out and publish it.
Like poor J.D. Salinger, who's from up here. He actually lived like 12 miles as the crow flies from Castle Frostbite, and apparently he had a bunch of unpublished stuff sitting in his basement, and now his estate's going to publish that. It's probably all the shit that he was like, oh no, don't do that.
Yep. Well, you know, actually, in a way, I think that's somewhat useful, if not for a, you know, like a history. You know, it's, you know, people, I don't know, you know, it's nice to see how people got to where they are sometimes.
Yeah, no, I'm going to disagree. I'm going to disagree with that.
So?
Yeah.
Oh no. When the lead singer of Sublime died, I rather enjoyed their stuff when they were a complete band. And then when he died, they started publishing all these like crappy demo reels and, none of it was ready for prime time, and it was awful.
You're familiar with 1,000 Hours of Suck, right? Like mm-hmm. whenever you pick up a hobby or a craft or a profession or something that you want to be good at, like writing or holster making or whatever, you have to put in 1,000 Hours of Suck where you just produce garbage before you produce anything that's worth selling. And then in writing, it's like we call it the million words of Suck, and I'm sure that in holster making, it's... You've spent quite a few hours making stuff that, you know, not quite.
Yeah, and, you know, it went pretty quickly from crap to passable, but not. It took a little longer to be awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, the various tools took some getting used to. Like, especially when I went up from hand stitching to machine stitching, those big sewing machines are freaking monsters.
Yeah, and that's actually how it became full-time, is that he got laid off from his job, so we took all of our savings and dumped it into a sewing machine, because that's a wise financial decision.
Oh, yeah.
Well, apparently it was.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Just wait till you're at the sweatshop stage, where you can farm it out to, like, some a sewing shop in Thailand.
Yeah.
There you go.
Brazil.
I'm sure I've got cousins in the Philippines.
Oh, probably.
I was about to say the Philippines.
There you go.
Well,
labor costs are amazing.
So I actually prepared one single interview question for this, because that's how well we do things here.
Wow! Not only did you read the book, you prepared. Holy
yes.
Wow! But you get a gold star.
But yeah, no, we were chatting. We were chatting before the show, because. Was mentioning that you guys are going to be on, and I'm like, oh, what are they going to be talking about? Is it going to be talking about the leatherworks and stuff like this? Is it going to be talking about the leatherworking? And, you know, I chuckled about, like, you know, having Dennis on, who's a frequent caller, and having it be some horrible smackdown. But, of course, I know you guys get along.
Oh, yeah.
And Brita mentioned the fact that, you know, they're not you guys aren't really competing, because it's very obvious when you see a Dragon Leatherworks holster and when you see an Evil Robot holster of who made which.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if you guys kind of did like an off, you know, off label or a bag of suck and fail or all that, you could still figure out pretty quickly who did one and who did the other. So I was going to ask you, what do you consider like the most beautiful holster, either by you or by somebody else or all of that? What is like the penultimate pinnacle? You know, what do you aspire to? It's kind of an open-ended question, but I'll let you take it away from that. I want to get kind of a holster theory.
Okay. I would say that you got a balance of angles and lines, curves. Obviously, fit to the gun, fit to the person. I don't like I've got something rattling around in the back of my head, and I'm working towards it. There's not any... I'm not looking at a living inspiration for that.
As beautiful as falling water and more functional?
There you go.
Doesn't leak when it rains?
Well, there you go.
Falling water leaks when it rains. Go ahead.
Like I said, beautiful but more functional.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it just, but I know like stuff like you definitely use a lot more like funky colors and a lot more.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Thank you.
I mean, yeah, you're, you know, like with Dragon Leatherworks, it's one of those, his stuff, you know, almost always looks like it was like, you know, hacked out of the inside of a tree or carved off of a living holster beast and, you know, sort of idea. He's got very, very, you know, he uses very, very natural lines. And meanwhile, like some of your holsters would be one of those, like, is that like, you know, is that Kydex that you know, that's made to look like leather or, you know, or something like that? Cause it's got a lot of, it's definitely, I guess you could say maybe a more of a futuristic look.
Yeah, I could see that.
I'm still I'm still kind of lusting after Jennifer's red belt. It's just beautiful. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
And I remember there was another kind of red holster thing that you made for another blogger, and it was almost like at that point in the gun kind of thing that it was like, wow, that is so red. And it was, nobody else was doing that because, you know, you get leather goods, they're black and they're brown and they're, you know, whatever, and they match your shoes. And it's mainly kind of like that man aesthetic. Well, leather's either black or brown, right?
Right.
So, and all of a sudden there's red. Wow. You know, it was very exciting. And I think that's kind of what people go to you for, at least, you know, in my mind.
Yeah, you know, I do love doing the colorful holsters, and I wind up doing a lot of ladies' holsters because of that, because like you said, we men tend to like to wear black or brown, natural, but, you know, I'll have these ladies contacting me, and they'll say, hey, can you do a purple holster? Well, yeah, I can. Can you do a pink holster with rhinestones on it? Yes, absolutely. And it's fun to do that, and you know, obviously, there are also some men that like some brightly colored holsters. Usually, they're using those for... Huh?
I want a big holster with the rhinestones.
Okay.
Sweet! Sweet.
But I find that a lot of the competitive shooters, they like to go for something a little flashier than your typical CCW. And, yeah, that stuff is fun, and... Obviously, that stuff that I've made is the stuff that gets seen the most, but I turn out a whole lot of black and brown as well. I probably turn out 10 times more black and brown than I do all the funky colors combined.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, on the red, I've done a few red holsters, and red... tends to be a little tricky, but not nearly as bad as pink. I think I finally got my pink down, though.
What makes it tricky?
Because it's a lighter color. Because leather starts out that tannish color, it's easier to dye a darker color than it is a lighter color.
Oh.
That makes sense.
My red one is actually patent leather. We bought the leather that color.
Yeah.
Oh.
Shiny.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how do you dye, if you want to dye a leather a particular color, how do you go about doing that?
Well, I buy my dyes in black and then the three primaries, and then I mix it from there.
Wow.
Yeah.
You don't use the paper cup and the little tablets? it is about that season.
Shh. Don't give away my secrets.
That's pretty cool. I did not know you mixed your own color. Now, how do you...
I thought it was some special purple cows.
Now I have to ask, how do you get the color you want? Because here's the thing. I know for a fact that a lot of these dyes look different when they dry.
Yeah.
So do you like experiment a lot or what's the.
Yes. I keep my scraps. And so I've got this pile of crap leather on the floor next to my sewing machine. And when I'm mixing a new color, I will use my experience and know-how and what I learned in elementary school to mix close to the color. I try to keep it a little on the green side to offset the color of the leather. And then I'll douche down a piece of scrap leather with the new dye. And I let that dry for a couple hours. And if it turns out the right color, that's it.
Cool.
Yeah. Or, you know, it may need a little more red, a little more blue, whatever.
Neat. I like it.
Thank you.
Whoa.
It wasn't me. Oh.
All right, then.
It wouldn't be the squirrel report without random sound effects.
That's right. And if you want to call in, that number, 214-530-0036.
Talk to Jennifer or Michael or...
Yeah, that's right.
Or about our book report that people read the book. They did.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we'll get to other topics, too. Thanks for calling in, Marco. It was nice talking
to you. Awesome to talk to you.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure.
Is he still there?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. His call's still active. I guess he went away.
Oh, well. he walked away from the phone. Hang up on him.
I did.
Nature
make
call.
Make him go finish his book.
Yeah, that's right. Go finish your book, Mark.
Go write your book.
We need to read it.
That's right. I have money in my pocket.
Right.
Make my money go away.
So apparently, to switch topics or just for a second, Jennifer is one of those people that still hasn't got the memo about blogging being dead because she still writes blog posts. Unlike the rest of us. Well, actually, Weird does, too.
Yeah, so no, I still write blog posts.
You know, Jennifer is one of the blogs that I actually still read.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually do, too. It's in my RSS feed.
Aw.
So.
You're in mine for the, like, off chance you might post.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like, I don't think I've posted in, ever. Well.
Yeah.
Oh, the last thing I posted was the video of the snow. The snow saucer.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, God. January.
2 months ago, yeah. So, you know, you for those of you that don't know, Jennifer blogs in Jennifer's Head, which, where did that name come from?
You know, it's Rachel Lucas prodded me into starting a blog from her comment section because she was like, okay, you have to do this. So I started on Blogspot and I couldn't come up with anything other than it was the overflow from what was in my head. And she was like, so call it that.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
So born in Jennifer's Head.
I've never successfully prodded somebody into starting a blog. Well, maybe I have. Actually, McFag blames me for starting his blog.
Blames you. That's a little different.
Yeah.
It's definitely wrong. Nope, the best I've got is the creation of the Bubblehead Less News Network.
I love that, by the way.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. Yeah. It definitely makes blogging much easier because I just go to my email and just see what Les has for me.
There you go.
It's easier than him blogging himself, you know.
Yes.
True.
Well, you know, come on.
I'm kind of into the whole idea of fodder distribution.
Yeah, gosh, that was one of the things when I was blogging that it was always so hard to just think of something to write about. You know, because like your life is sometimes you just go day to day or doing your life and then you've got nothing really to write about. And then you find yourself, like, at 2 a.m. reading the news, thinking, Jesus, please, something, give me something, you know. And blog fodder is just sometimes just so hard.
Oh, yeah, and then you think you've got something great, and everyone else and their dog has already written about it.
Yeah, and so what's the point? Yeah.
Like, really? Yeah. I'm just adding more noise.
Or, you know, like in my case, I write something that I'm freaking rolling on the floor laughing about, and then nobody comments except for my darling wife.
And then you write a throwaway post, and everyone comments.
Yes.
I know. It's weird. It's weird how that goes.
My first
The whole Dance Monkey post is still probably my most popular post ever.
Wow.
And it was totally just off the cuff. I need filler.
My first Uncle Lanch was a cat playing with an iPad and me making fun of how crappy iPads are.
Nice.
And that was it. It was literally 5 seconds. And then, yeah, no, I've had a couple where I've burned like several hours and done a whole bunch of research and all that, and it just disappears into the ether. I couldn't even tell you what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing, you know, and we can nauseate everyone about the blogosphere, because, you know, even I think, you know, in a lot of ways, talking about blogs is even worse than blogging. But, you know, it was like there was like, you know, we'll look back and there, you know, you can identify like the golden age of blogging.
It was very short,
which is like I want to say 2004 to maybe 2008 or 2009-ish. You know, you had, well, because you had the big, you know, you had the big bloggers. You know, you had Stephen Den Best and Acid Man and Rachel Lucas and, oh gosh, well, I you know, Instapundit, I guess, for, you know, he's not really a blogger, but still. All the post 9/11, you know, bloggers that popped up and had huge followings, and before, you know, in the pre Facebook, you know, because Facebook went public where anybody could join it in like 2007, and Facebook kind of sucked the life out of the blogosphere.
I don't know. I love reading the people that are obviously still having fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like reading people where you get a glimpse into their life.
Mm.
Yeah, I want to know who you are.
I want to know the person behind the blog. I don't want to read the news because I can read the news on my
own. Yes, thank you.
Right?
Yes,
I'm glad you agree. Thank you. That's part of why I like your blogs, because
thank you.
Is because I get a glimpse into what is going on with Jennifer, and you know what I mean. And I get to like, and weird, your blog is pretty personal too. You talk about the news, but there are also a lot of personal insights.
Yeah. I was trying to throw a personal touch into it. I'm glad you added that. I'm like, oh shit. Is she talking about me?
No, not at all. Not at all.
There's baby.
There is baby. There is baby. I need to post more pictures. I've got some, but
she is just the cutest thing.
Yeah, not right now. She's sick.
Well, whatever. But
she's throwing up a lot.
She's super cute, though. Like, she's at the really super cute age. You have to post pictures.
Yes.
I bet she's even cute when she pukes.
Oh, she's really cute when she pukes.
Aw.
Hacks up stuff.
We have another caller.
Oh, good.
From Norwood, Mass. I think that's what it says. Area code 781. Hello.
Oh, hi. I think that's me.
It is.
Yes.
Hello.
This is Maureen.
Oh, Maureen. Hey.
Hey, Maureen.
Hey, Maureen. Good.
Maureen.
First time caller, long time listener.
Yay.
Well, you know, I had comments that. I had a comment that's related to both the book report and the discussion about blogging, because one of the things that I'm like struggling with as I've been reading the book is, you know, I really feel like I've heard all this before, and I think about it and I go, well, I've been reading this on blogs for like years now.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's blogs like, and I agree with everybody on learning more about the people that write the blogs too. I feel like I know everybody on Squirrel Report, and some of you I do know from Facebook, but I've never met anybody in real life, but I still enjoy reading about people's lives.
Hooray, internet.
Yay. Yeah, that's the thing. It's kind of the best thing ever, because I've met some of my favorite people through doing the whole blogging and Facebook and all the internet stuff.
And you've met me.
And
it's
weird.
True. I have. Mm-hmm. I've met all my favorite people and weird.
Awesome.
Yeah, the internets are good for that.
Yeah.
And a lot of you I've met in person, which is awesome.
Yeah, I know.
But kind of expensive.
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. Y'all had a blog shoot recently.
Can we?
Yes, we
just
did.
Just 1 second. I wanted to say something, Maureen.
Okay.
Yes.
About this thing where you feel like you've read all this before.
Yeah.
That was one of my problems with this book was I was thinking, this is a really great book for someone who is not immersed in politics. Because
you
know all
I
of
agree
us,
with you.
All of us online, we're always reading the news, we're posting links to things, and we're all kind of like up on what's going on politically. But this would be a great book to give to somebody who isn't.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, it kind of compiles all the general thinking into one place. Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. And P.J. O'Rourke's books, he's part of the reason why I became, you know, the way I am politically, was because I wasn't paying attention. And my husband gave me P.J. O'Rourke's books, and he said, here, because I was bored, here, read this. And I got into it, and it was funny and engaging and easy to understand and kind of, you know, P.J. O'Rourke has a great way of making things accessible to anyone.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is the humor. It makes you want to read more. And I think this is a great book to like maybe pass on to your cousin or your spouse who isn't really involved politically.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And they understand it. And that's the great thing about it is you're right. He makes it easy to understand for people. I still think Parliament of Fords is one of the funniest books I've ever read.
Oh yeah,
that's
wonderful. Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, thank you for calling
Thanks for
Maureen.
Calling Maureen.
Well, thank you guys. Yeah. I enjoy this show and I enjoy everything that you read and write and say.
Oh.
So please keep it up. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yay! Thanks.
See, Brita, there's another person that says we shouldn't quit after 100.
I know. I was just kidding.
Believe it or not, we have another caller.
Yay!
Sweet.
This is, it says Brown Chadwick. I don't know what that
is. Is it P.J. O'Rourke?
Yes.
It's not P.J. O'Rourke.
Damn it.
This is not, you know what? If you're expecting P.J. O'Rourke, you probably just shut her down right now because you will be sorely disappointed.
Oh.
This is not even Billy Bob O'Rourke, P.J. O'Rourke's less talented, less famous cousin. This is Gus.
Hey, Gus.
And I'm calling in the Squirrel Report. It's not about blogging, but I do miss some of the personalities, you know, because a lot of those folks had some of the things in common with me, even if it was just, hey, you know what? I don't want to wear a vest, but I want to wear a holster and I want to walk about. And you learn a little from each of them. And you know, like you talked about some of the old school, Stephen Invest, which the guy's got a brain the size of my yard.
Yep.
And you know, you just think, wow, I never thought about it that way. But you know what? The next crazy libtard that comes up, I'm going to throw a couple of his best lines out, and I'm going to crush that dude, you know? Because there are a lot of smart people. And where else pre-internet could I be tied into people who are smart enough to have wonderful insight into all this stuff and also smart enough not to be in public office or somewhere where I'm here than otherwise. Because, you know, if I were ever that smart, I would live in a cave in Montana full of dried meat and ammunition and say, screw you all. Actually, I would say the F word because I can't do that on internet radio, but
yes,
I would
can.
Say screw you all
yes,
for
you
y'all.
Can.
I would say, fuck y'all. I'm living in my bunker in Montana full of dried meat and ammunition. You know?
See, doesn't it feel
and,
fucking good?
and then when I don't want to think that hard, I think, you know what? I just bought a new pistol. It might carry peace. It might not. how in the heck would I carry it? And you can find great people making holsters or talking about holsters or, you know, and it's just, you know, the whole world's out there. And, yep. So yeah, it's, I mean, it's really good. And I miss blogging, but you know, I'm old, so that would be expected that I would miss things. Mm. I miss 8-tracks. So, I miss being able to get the reprise at the end, you know, the first half of your favorite song on track 4, you know, so.
these youngsters don't know what you're talking about, Gus.
I just lost the 40 and under crowd. Yeah. But,
hey, there's an Atari 2600 sitting in this room.
There's an Atari 2600 in my old man's basement. I'm going to go get it because it's got combat and it's got Pitfall, and that's really all you need for video games. Who needs all this?
Oh, but what about the ET port?
I've got the ET.
That was like $39.90. That was like $39.99 even back in 1981. Man, I couldn't afford that. but no, and it's great. And, you know, Score Report's kind of the next extension. You know, you talk to people making holsters, and like I said, I don't have a regular carry piece, and part of a regular carry piece is, you know, first rules are good quality handgun, good quality holster. If you don't have one of those two, you may as well stay home.
And a good quality
belt. Because the next thing you know, you're standing in the checkout line of the grocery store, hit the floor and shoot the bag boy in the hip, you know. I mean, you need both. And so it's nice to hear all these great personalities that have something to contribute. And I need a little information from all of them, and I'm able to suck it for free, and I'm a cheap bastard, so this appeals to me.
Yay!
Awesome.
Yeah. But otherwise, I'm immersed in politics. It's kind of my day job. And so some of that's fun. Some of it, you know, is a lot of the same stuff, but it's nice to hear another perspective. It's nice to hear people outside of where I live. So appreciate the insight. Appreciate an hour a week of this particular crazy crowd, and looking forward maybe to rubbing elbows in Indianapolis if anybody makes it. But
I keep saying I'm not going to go, but for some reason it's only 6 hours away. I just need
Eight acres, firearms and firearms related accessories under one roof. Mm. I haven't been to one since Louisville. I just barely missed St. Louis. I left Fort Sam Houston before Houston kicked off.
Oops.
And so I am making this one, and
I just need somewhere to sleep.
Unless there's a miracle, we're not going to make this one, unfortunately.
A miracle.
Yeah.
That's quite a drive for you.
Yeah.
I'm not
going to make it either.
Yeah.
It's like a
I don't know, Alan.
Like
you could pick us up on the way.
It's about what it'd be.
All right, on the roof.
Woohoo!
Well, I found like some 4-bed room in a hostel for like $60 a night. And it, you know, and I had one guy from where I'm going to the, there's a firearms law seminar on Friday, which means I can write the whole freaking thing off my taxes, which
awesome.
Is incredible.
It's professional development.
So if any of you happen to find yourself in Indianapolis, I have got 3 extra beds. So, you know,
nice.
Not the whole Squirrel Port Nation, because there's some weird MFs out there. You got some. I know there's some crazy fuckers listening. If you have ever killed anyone, off the list. If you've ever thought about
come on.
Okay, if they had it come and apply for a waiver. All right.
There you go.
They had it come.
All right. All right, squirrels. Glad to hear it. Glad to participate. And look forward to this this week and next.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Gus.
Thanks, Gus.
All right. Out here.
That was a good call. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gus is awesome.
I was actually going to say, Bill Whittle is proof that there is sanity in Hollywood.
He may be the exception.
Mostly,
kind of. I don't know.
I don't always agree with him, but at least he's not, like, totally off the...
Yeah. No, he's not. He's very... Yeah, he's good. I like Bill Whittle.
And
I think there's a spectrum, though.
And by strange twist of events, he's my blog brother.
What?
I guess he's my blog brother because his blog mother is also Rachel Lucas.
No. Really?
Yes.
Well, there you
she built Eject, Eject, Eject.
Huh.
Oh.
I did not know that.
I did not know that either.
We're going to try to get Rachel Lucas on the show.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. I bet she'll do it.
She's on Facebook.
I bet she'll do it
now.
Too. She's on Facebook. And
she likes
Brita. I talked to her on Facebook. We'll see.
So anyway.
Yeah, yes. Blog shoot.
Well,
yeah.
Let's talk about the blog shoot, and then I want to go, I want to talk about this anti-gun politician in California. So blog shoot first.
Okay.
Which is always fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, if anybody ever read my blog, they would have seen the after-action report. But, yeah, we had a more locals show up than anybody else, but we had a few good folks out. We shot some steel. We blew up some tannerite. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, we've got 100 acres in, well, seriously nowhere. The deed for the land says number 3.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And so we go out there. We try to do this every year. I think we're going to bump it to a little bit warmer time of year for next year. But out there.
Normally, this would have been a fairly warm time of year.
Well, it's kind of funny. Yeah. This is the third year we've done it. The first year was absolutely perfect. Last year, it snowed on us. And then this year was just cold.
It wasn't too cold. It was cool.
It was all right. I think it got up into almost 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to be clear, this is somewhere in Oklahoma.
Yes.
Yes.
People are asking where.
Yes, yeah. And it's very flat because it's Oklahoma.
Is it in the fat part or the skinny part?
Fat part.
Fat part.
Yeah. Okay.
Right in the smack middle of the fat part.
Yeah. Yeah, right in the middle, pretty much.
You ate squirrel at your blog shoot?
We did.
Yeah. We threw a brisket and some racks of ribs on the smoker and a squirrel.
And a single squirrel.
Yes.
A single squirrel.
Is this like the loaves and fishes? Because squirrels are, you know.
Well, it was actually, you all know Farm Mom.
Yes.
Yes.
We had been talking to her and talking about weird things that we had eaten, and it came up that she had never tried squirrel.
Oh.
And she was supposed to be here, so we said, we'll try and have a squirrel. So we had a squirrel, but things came up for them, and they couldn't make it down. But so, yeah, that's the story of that squirrel.
Oh, that squirrel. Squirrels,
it's not the only squirrel we've ever eaten.
I have never had squirrel, so...
Really?
The next one that knocks out the power to my house is going on my grill. That's what I'm saying.
It's already cooked.
I tell you what, Brita, you come visit and I will happily feed you squirrel.
Does it taste like chicken?
No,
it doesn't.
Does it taste like rabbit?
More like rabbit. Yeah.
It's rabbit, but it's more dense.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I'd probably like it.
I've had squirrel.
Yeah, I've heard it's kind of porkish.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's squirrel.
Yeah. It tastes very squirrely.
Yeah.
Now, I see in the picture that you've got the whole squirrel in there. I've heard only the hind end is worth eating, but is the front end got enough on it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm thinking about the next one that knocks out my power. He's going to get it.
Squirrel's a lot like dove. It's a lot of work for a little meat.
Yeah.
Yes.
And make sure to use a good rub and rub your squirrel.
Always rub your squirrel.
I tend to every night.
That is going on the sidebar. I'm sorry. Always rub your squirrel. Alan, that's going on the sidebar.
Oh, no, that's funny. That's the post title.
Yes. Always rub your squirrel.
Always rub your squirrel.
Yeah, so Friday, we always have a big cookout so that everybody can just get there whenever they get there and there's food. There's a big smoker. The rest of Michael's family all live on, like, one compound. Okay. Well, his parents live in one house, and his brother lives in the other on a little over an acre. And
it's
so we
run 2.5 acres.
2.5 acres.
Yeah.
And so we run the smoker. Everybody gets there. His bro- when I got home from work. His brother was just coming out of the house from taking a nap. And the first thing he says is, "So, want to help me rub the squirrel?"
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Dear Penthouse Forum, I never thought it could happen to me.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Always rub your squirrel. Yeah. I'm currently trying to figure out how to put it on the stupid.
I got it.
Yeah. Can I borrow that photo from your blog post?
Absolutely.
Of the squirrel.
I wasn't even asked permission. That's going to go for the next squirrel report post on my blog. But yeah, so since it's now 10 o'clock, we got to talk about this dude.
What? Oh,
we can. We don't have to stop now. We can keep going.
Oh, I know we don't have to stop now. It's a podcast. That's the joy of it. We don't have a hard break. We don't have a stop for station identification.
That's right. Damn it.
That's right. There's no FCC business, and we can say fucking shit and cunty and all that other stuff. Leland Yee. I was actually not only delightfully surprised, but just generally surprised when I read this news this morning. The super crazy anti-gun senator in California from the San Francisco district who pretty much made it his life goal to make sure that no one could ever own an AR-15, was evidently trafficking full-auto M16s to known criminals.
Ooh, nice.
This is my shocked face.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, it really doesn't surprise me because, you know, back in the day when I used to play with trolls, you know, there was this cute little blogger named Mike B. And later, you know, it turned out, you know, he was Mr. Crazy Anti-Gun and, you know, oh, I can't believe you people are doing all this and you're bad for people. And oh, it turned out that his previous career was a drug dealer. And he had illegal guns. And so I got banned from his site for my questioning of the, well, if you illegally owned guns, so why don't you tell us about it so that, you know, we can help make better gun control, because obviously if you are able to get guns as a drug dealer and get them illegally, there's probably some loopholes that you exploited that we can close.
Absolutely. I love how part of Yee's biography is how he introduced an investigator to someone who was illegally trafficking guns. It's like, so they had lunch?
More like they had a prior... you know, a prior relationship, which probably suggests that just like, you know, when someone gets pulled over for drunk driving, that was not the first time they either A, cracked a beer, or B, got a little overserved and decided to drive home this time.
Right.
Oh, no. Yeah. They were a habitual drunk driver and just, they did it enough times that they got caught. So there's definitely some illegal weapons on the street that has Yee's fingerprints on them in some way or another.
But you know what? And Raddus says that Yee hates video games, too.
Oh, hilarious. Of course he does. Of course he does. He also doesn't like dancing because it leads to sex.
Hey, now, I was raised Church of Christ.
I don't know what that means.
Does it always lead to sex?
The Church of Christ, there is no dancing.
Okay.
Yeah, for that reason.
Huh. In the Church of Poor Coordination, there's no dancing either. So that's how I was.
They
raised.
Also have no instrumental music, but that's a story for another day.
Well, that leads to sex.
Instrumental music?
Yes.
There's the saxophone. Yeah, it kind of sounds like that.
One time at band camp. Yeah. Thank you, Rita.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you know it's funny. It's like the list of anti-gun politicians that are criminals, and at a certain point you're gonna have to say, you know, can we just assume that all people that are anti-gun are criminals,
or covering up for or definitely protecting criminals,
right?
Because I mean, you got Joan Peterson, who, as far as I'm concerned, probably hasn't done any, you know, felonious activities,
But at the same time, she's always dancing in the blood of her sister. And it's one of those things of the, her murderous husband was a complete and utter freak show. I mean, there's books written about this dude. And he had to have come to a Thanksgiving or two.
Oh yeah.
And if he hadn't, it's also the other, you know, humorous thing of the, she's so concerned about her sister, but maybe they didn't have a relationship at all. But, you know, I can only speculate on these sort of things, but, you know,
surely you're not saying that's a relationship of convenience.
No, I would never say that. That would be too mean-spirited.
Well,
you know that I'm not a mean-spirited person.
It's much easier to have a relationship with a dead relative than it is a live one. I mean, come on.
So true. You know,
that is true.
What sort of show is this?
A screwed up one.
And I'm not talking necrophilia here, damn it.
They were still warm.
I knew somebody was going to say that.
I had to. I couldn't help it. But that's what I said. But it definitely is one of those, like, if you've got the politician that's talking about, you know, what the queers are doing to our soil and we need to get rid of them and they're going to destroy stuff. Yeah, no, that dude's going to get caught in the bathroom sucking cock.
Oh, every time.
It's every single time. It's one of those, if you're devoting that much time, you know, to this harmless endeavor, and the same thing, if you're devoting this much time to the gun endeavor, you're either a criminal or you're one of those guys that you own a buttload of guns yourself and you just want to make sure everybody else doesn't have them.
I think it's the natural inclination. I mean, most criminals are anti-gun.
It's absolutely true. Absolutely true. I mean, it just, you know, it goes on to the whole, like, you know, I talked about an anti-gun post where they were saying, you know, someone was saying, oh, Hitler banned guns. Oh, no, Hitler, you know, Hitler relaxed the German regulations on firearms. I'm like, yeah, except for Jews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and guess what he did next?
Killed them all.
Exactly. Or tried to. He didn't succeed. There's still some Jews left.
Well, it wasn't for lack of trying.
It was not for lack of trying. No, he definitely got an A for effort.
He tried really hard.
But So yeah, this guy was, and I haven't had a chance to because I was wrangling my baby all day. But to read all the FBI documents, but something about, like, what was it? One of his, like, secretaries or something like that was like an actual assassin.
Oh yeah, and his.
Are
his,
you kidding?
No.
And the guy, the the kingpin guy. Damn it.
Not the shrimp boy.
Shrimp boy.
Triad guy.
No. But the shrimp boy triad guy. He was like the kingpin for this little gang or something.
Yeah.
Shrimp boy.
But I'm actually talking about, there was actually another politician that I haven't read it all, so somebody else has maybe read it. Maybe someone in chat can chime in, even though chat's emptying out, because evidently it's bedtime curfew. Yeah. But the there's something about Yi definitely got tagged along with a murder for hire business, but it wasn't him that was the guy that was actually, you know, plotting out the assassinations, but somebody was doing something.
I like the LA Times headline is like from today is like this brilliant exercise in liberal, you know, mindset. You know, Leland Yi indictment may mark abrupt end to his political career.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think?
Well, it is California. It may not.
I actually read one post from the LA Times where they actually were trying to play the victim card, was the fact that some NRA spokesman referred to Yi as a scumbag, and geez, that was just uncouth, you know, selling rocket launchers to triad, you know, to triad gang members is definitely just, you know, calling him a scumbag, that's a bit far. And he's only selling rocket launchers to murderers.
Oh, man.
But yeah, yeah, but that's this is good news for anyone on the pro Second Amendment stuff, because it definitely shoots down any sort of idea of bans, because people will be able to get anything they want, as ye said. And you know, so even if everything's all banned here completely 100%, you can still mail order from terrorist organizations and get yourself whatever the hell you want. Then on top of that, that also gets rid of that whole iron pipeline of the, well, I mean, Massachusetts is a violent shithole, but that's because, you know, they buy all their guns in Georgia and Virginia. Well, first up, no, they don't. But second up, even if they could, it doesn't fucking matter, because you can buy them from the Philippines or from Russia.
Yeah, I think I love his attitude where he was like, on the recording, it says the complaint says Yee described his approach to arm dealing as agnostic. And this is a guy who is virulently anti-gun. He is Brady A-plus rated.
Of course, he doesn't want the good guys to have him.
Right. And he says people want to get whatever they want to get. Do I care? No, I don't care. People need certain things.
Well, I really think there's a lot of that typical liberal projection. Well, you know, no one should have guns because, you know.
They might act like me.
They might act like me.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's another big key to the, you know, the whole, like, you know, can we consider all anti-gun people to be, you know, horrible sociopaths? And that also cores down to it. Is that's also a big thing is.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to think. I don't think I actually ended up blogging about it. But when I rescinded my membership to the Republican Party a couple of weeks ago, or I don't know how long ago it was, all time runs together. You know, it was one of those. I, you know, bumped into a dude on the street while I was pushing my daughter in a stroller.
Was anyone hurt? Was,
no.
Good.
No. But fuck you. Fuck you and everyone who looks like you.
But and your little dog too.
Party.
But yeah, but the dude said, you know, the dude was driving, you know, a beat up pickup truck. I assume he was maybe a contractor or somebody from just all the information that I was able to gather. And he was like, "Hey, which way's Town Hall?" And I said, "Hey, that's exactly where I'm going. It's down this way." And you know, he went down to Town Hall, and then I didn't bump into him in Town Hall, but as I was walking back home, he went driving past, and he, you know, pulled over real quick and just said, "Thanks for the directions," and then drove off. And it was one of those, "Hey, look, most people are good."
Well,
you know,
yeah.
the vast majority of people are good. You know, you talk about, like, you know, NRA conventions, and hey, I've got, like, you know, four extra beds in my room, and anyone who wants to stay, you know, every single year I've been to the NRA convention, I have roomed with practically a total stranger. You know, my first year was with Mike W. And
what? It wasn't Blood and Carnage?
No, it was not Blood and Carnage, and they were all heavily armed. But the you know, my first year was with Mike W., and that was before he posted pictures of himself on his blog. And so I'm talking to him on the phone, trying to coordinate us meeting up together so we can go check into our hotel room. And I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck this guy looks like. You know, sort of idea. But,
oh, yeah. The first time I ever went to a blog meet, I took a couple extra days off so I could have a long weekend. And my boss was like, "So what are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm meeting some people from the internet. With guns."
With guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the typical liberal mindset, that says, "Oh, well, you know, we're gonna find yeah. Jennifer's corpse in a shallow grave."
That's right.
Nice knowing you, Ben. Across five contractor bags.
Right.
But you know, it's not true. I mean, every time it's just, you know, I've met new people, and they've all been super nice and super awesome and really cool. And it's one of those, most people are good. You know, it's the same idea as the, "All right, look, if I handed you a gun right now, who would you kill?" And the person immediately backpedals, "Well, I wouldn't kill anybody." Yeah. Even when you're, you know, when you're entrenched in the blogger and you've got creepy anti-gun stalkers and all that. There's nobody on the anti-gun side that's worth a fucking bullet.
No.
And that's, you know, that's the bottom line. It's just who gives a shit?
Because so ammo is too expensive.
Yeah, I may not like them. I may write a post that said that I'm happy that they're dead because I'm the strong, you know, philosophy that you don't say, oh, I don't speak ill of the dead, because the last thing I want is people saying he was a real nice guy at my funeral when they thought I was an asshole. Fuck you. If you think I'm an asshole and I'm dead, tell everyone in the world that I was a fucking asshole. I give you permission. It is appropriate, because that way, when, you know, when my grieving family hears someone say he was a really, really nice guy and I like him and I miss him and he's gone, it means you're fucking truthful. Mm. And all of that, you know. And so, and, you know, people are good. People don't want to mess with stuff. Even the more antisocial, jerky type people in the world are still more or less good. They may not be the nicest people on the planet, but they're not going to, you know, they're not going to kill you, rape you, and murder you, because it's just not worth it. It's icky, and it's not worth the trouble.
Those people go into politics, apparently.
That's right, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's and so the people that say, oh, we need to ban all these guns because, you know, if you have an argument over a parking space, you're going to shoot somebody in cold blood. These people are really, really sick people if they think that the world exists that way.
Projection.
Seriously.
Is somebody doing dishes or something?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to do the cat wrangling for
no.
The
oh.
Sorry.
You're fine.
Don't worry. We're in overtime.
Okay.
I thought Weird was burying a body or something.
Cats no.
Must
I'm,
be fed.
Yeah, we're having the cat thing.
Cat thing.
Cats,
sorry.
Cats do not understand podcasting, and you know, damn it, feed me.
Thank goodness babies do.
Yeah, ours are currently crashed out on the ridiculous cat tree.
We're trying to teach the cats to have dinner time, like meal times, instead of just getting fed when they want to be fed. And so it's insane in my house right now.
Been there, done that.
And we think we're winning the battle because tonight they weren't like absolutely like crazy, but it's just been a long, it's a struggle.
Yes, it is. We did that a few months ago, and we live with Siamese, so that's very loud, very, very loud ordeal.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember, folks, rub your cats. They taste like shit, but they make a turd.
Always rub your cats and your squirrels.
And your squirrels. Always rub your squirrel.
I think we're about done. We should end
I think
on
so,
that.
Too. Great show.
This was a good one.
Oh.
Jennifer and Michael, thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you. This has been fun.
Y'all are great.
Yeah.
You were really
so, Michael,
great.
Has the top disappeared?
Not yet. Nobody said please.
Please.
Oh, please.
Here it goes.
Oh, no.
Yes. Here goes.
Man, that's easy.
All right. I definitely think we need to end on that because I got to go right now.
Okay.
All right, everybody. That's a show. Okay. See y'all next week.
Thank you.
And have a good weekend.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Good night, squirrels.
Bye. Good night.
Good night.
We're done.